Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
We have Bulls basketball tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. Fred Hoiberg's men welcome their neighbors to the north to town. Bulls and Bucks at the United Center. Pre-game coverage begins at the bottom of the hour. Then Neil and Stacy with the call at 7 o'clock.
It's like going on a ride, is for sure, because I said to myself when I packed, take enough for until Saturday, and then it's San Antonio, here we come.
Everybody get on board the Loyola bandwagon. Sister Jean is driving. The Ramblers once again make the big shots late. Now the 11th seeded Ramblers are one win away from the Final Four with former Illini coach Bruce Weber in their way. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Guest host David Kaplan is expected back next week briefly before yet another vacation. Let's meet the panel for today's show. He covers the Bears for The Athletic. Kevin Fishbane from Bleacher Report and the Big Ten Unfiltered podcast, Seth Gruen. And from the Sun-Times, our former production assistant who now covers the Ramblers throughout their run to the Elite Eight, Madeline Kenny. Welcome, everybody. Great to have you. Great to see
Good
you back
here.
Here. How about these Ramblers? Did you ever expect you'd see something like this?
Absolutely not, especially after last season and kind of how they've been playing over the last few years. It kind of was an adjustment to the Missouri Valley Conference. They went 4-14 in their first season. And then when they lost Millen Doyle, I was kind of thinking, well, to graduation, I was like, oh, well, looking at the players they had come in, Cam Cartwig looked pretty good. Satterwhite didn't really play much, and so I didn't really know what to expect from the season. And once they beat Florida at Florida in December, that's when I realized, okay, this team is actually a team to take seriously.
I'll tell you what's remarkable. You remember when they went to the MVC, they had this press event. I remember being there. No one showed up. No one cared. I'm serious. And now this has captivated the city. It's got a little bit of Cubdom in it.
Not just the city. The country.
The country, yeah, sure.
I said today, is this any, if you would have told me before the season, Loyola's going to the Final Four or the Bulls are going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I would have taken the Bulls to the Eastern Conference Finals. It's like, it's the Final Four. Are you kidding me? This is one of the biggest college basketball stories in the history of our city.
That's pretty impressive. It really is. And I think it's funny because I remember right before the Florida game, Jeff Dickerson, who does some Loyola color commentary, he said to me, he goes, the Ramblers are legit.
Yeah.
Just watch this game against Florida. They're legit. And lo and behold, they beat Florida. And then what was amazing, too, is like I remember like looking at my bracket and be like, I want to take Loyola. And they looked at KenPom. They actually have like a really good team. I mean, it's not just that they ran the table in Missouri Valley Conference. It's a good team. It's a balanced team. They play a fun brand of basketball. But nobody could have predicted this. And I think lucky for them, they got Kansas State, which might be the best gift of all.
Definitely
of a great opportunity to make the Final Four.
And you talk about them being a good team, and Jeff saying that to you. But we all have short-term memories.
Yeah.
Just a couple weeks ago, people were saying, well, if Loyola doesn't win the MVC, are they going to get in?
Right.
Isn't that large? Which to me is ridiculous. And I think that Loyola isn't just playing for this city, isn't just playing that underdog role, but is really playing for the mid-major.
And a lot of the players even said that they want people to respect mid-majors. They want to make a statement. And I go back to last year with Illinois State and Wichita State. They were co-MVC regular season title holders. And then when they played in Arch Madness, Illinois State obviously lost, and Illinois State ended up getting a bid to the NIT, and they totally should have had a chance to get in the NCAA tournament.
And look, say what you want about Syracuse. I know they went out. They beat Michigan State. But, that's a team that maybe shouldn't have gotten in, regardless of the way they ended up playing in the tournament. And I think this quadrant system further marginalizes the mid-major. And really, you talk about these teams and the schedules. They don't control who they play. Duke's not going to come here and play Loyola. It doesn't matter who you play. It matters who's on your roster. If Duke had played a bunch of Division III teams, they'd still be Duke. They'd still be great. So the schedule doesn't matter as much as people make it seem to.
Duke's about to take care of Syracuse. here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. What's the biggest reason why you're rooting for Loyola? Is it because you're an alum, they're a Chicago school, you love their style of play, or, of course, Sister Jean? And speaking of Sister Jean, on eBay right now. You can get her bobblehead. She's so popular. First of all, her name's been the most tweeted name around the NCAA tournament. Her bobblehead, they've given them out twice. Is this right, Madeline? Twice in school history, they've handed out Sister Jean bobbleheads. $379 for her bobblehead on eBay.
Insane.
Who has that kind of coin? And they should be tithing that, is what she's saying after that.
And her scouting reports are working, right? She's making the scouting reports before every game, and look at them making this run. So it's been a good luck charm, but also she clearly is having an impact.
She also has her own Lego. I don't know if you saw that.
Really?
Yep, in Schaumburg, they have a Lego, and she's dunking on a K-State player.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they just updated it. So she's kind of a celebrity, or international celebrity, as she would call herself.
Yeah, so we have Bruce Weber as the other side of this, and Illinois fans must just be squirming in their chairs because it's Loyola Chicago and the guy they fired for a chance to go to the Final Four.
I want to crawl under my chair because I'm sick of seeing Chicago kids get to the Final Four and former Illini coaches. But I got to tell you, Bruce Weber is the kind of guy you root for. And if this were against any other team or a non-Chicago team or you know, Florida State or whoever, I'd be rooting for him because the way he was unceremoniously dismissed from Illinois was ridiculous. And not to hijack the story, but you look at Porter Moser and Bruce Weber, two great guys. I mean, two guys who are just so easy to root for.
Do you think this carries over for Loyola, or do they have to really soak it up and enjoy it now? Because, you know, look at Northwestern last year. Their excitement was around the same level early on in the tournament last year. Chicago rallied behind him, and then this year it fell apart.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Loyola is they're going to have to prepare to have a target on their back, not just in the MVC, but any non-conference game they have next year. Everyone's going to know what they can do, and that's Northwestern completely failed in trying to live up to that. Of course, let's remember, if it wasn't for that missed goaltending call against Gonzaga last year, we'd be talking about Northwestern at this time last year. But that's what I think made Loyola this like great run, because Northwestern was really cool. It captured the city. Obviously, I was super into it as an alum. But they won the one game. And for Loyola to make it this far, it's just on a completely another level.
There's one difference. Northwestern plays in the Big Ten, which is obviously more competitive after I just got done ripping the idea of schedules. But it's obviously more competitive. And number two, there is precedent for this kind of thing. There is precedent for a team making a deep run into the tournament and then becoming sort of that mid-major darling. We've seen it with Gonzaga. We've seen it with Wichita State. We've seen it on the football side with Boise State. So it is possible to recruit at a high major level and beat up on these mid-majors and then get into the tournament and get a higher seed and improve your standing and get further in it.
It's still unlikely, though. I mean, we talked about it. I think we watched the game, the first game, the buzzer beater, Ingram hits it last week, and we said, 3 11 seeds have made it to the Final Four in the history of the tournament. They'd be the fourth if they do it. So it's not like it happens.
No, I'm saying there's precedent for building off a deep run as a mid-major, not as an 11 seed.
Yeah.
I know Porter's looking at this as a recruiting opportunity, and he already has two guys that are signed that are both 3 stars, and I think even one, according to ESPN, is a 4-star recruit. So he's bringing in these guys, but he looks for a certain kind of student athlete when he's recruiting, and these are the guys that don't have these egos. He's looking for guys that maybe come off the bench or are key players. And I think that's also helping here with his culture and what he's trying to build. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to in their locker room. They have a culture wall, and it's always like weird words that wouldn't make any sense to us. But he can point at them, and these players can tell you exactly what that means. And I think you can't have an ego player come into a program like that and try to be the star when you're trying to build a culture. And I think that's why they've been so successful this year, especially offensively.
Every time they win, his resume gets better. Do you think he stays? That's the question, because teams are going to come calling. If he takes Loyola to the Final Four, he's absolutely going to get calls.
I asked him about this, and I was actually surprised, because I'm like, you're a Chicago guy. You know, you went to Bennett. You played for Creighton and stuff. You came back, and you're with Loyola. Would you move away? Would you go to a Power 5 and move out of Chicago? I mean, he always claims that he's the Chicago guy and he loves the
Naperville,
city.
Right? Didn't he?
Yeah,
he grew up in Naperville.
And he says that he would move. But I don't know if he would do that after this season, because you've worked so hard for the last 7 seasons to build up this program. I think he's going to stay and watch his program flourish and then maybe take a deal later.
Well, he'll get a raise after this year. There's already been reports of that.
Yeah.
And then, so does he stay? Let's say next year they have a fine season. Would he still get that kind of attention at the end of next season? Like, is his stock highest now than it will ever be? Or will somebody be like, listen, we know you did it. We know that you can come here and be successful? Because I don't see how he lasts more than another couple of years at Loyola, just the way the money is in this sport.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think you're talking about transformational wealth. And if he gets a high major opportunity, you're going to talk about a multi-million dollar contract. That's going to put him and his family in a situation that they otherwise wouldn't be if he were at Loyola. Loyola's got to get into the seven figures to keep him, in my opinion. Now, that said, it worked for Shaka Smart, sitting and waiting, but VCU paid up and made it worth his while.
And VCU continued to be a threat, too, in the tournament, so it continues to build his resume. Too bad DePaul's not in a situation to throw their money at Porter Moser. Wouldn't that have been nice for
That'd be a great hire.
All right, we're just getting started on Sports Talk Live. Lauri Markkanen is back, but with 11 games left, why even play him? And could his back issue be a bad sign for his long-term health? We'll ask NBC Sports Chicago's Vincent Goodwill after the break. And the best part of last night's Blackhawks game didn't happen on the ice. It happened between periods. That's next. We mentioned it before. There is a Lego Sister Jean dunking on K-State. Hopefully, we'll see that tomorrow night. There it is.
Can't get enough of your Blackhawks? Tune in every single game day to Blackhawks pregame and flip back after the action for postgame live all season long, all 82 games, only on NBC Sports Chicago.
Well, I'm proud to say that I did have my final scan after the chemo treatment, Pat, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and you, my partner and my friend, that all the cancer is gone and we beat this thing. And I say we, because it has been a team effort, not only from the great doctors, but from this organization, from Rocky Wirtz, John McDonough, Jay Blunt, Coach Q, hockey operations, these great trainers, our broadcasters, you partner for all the texts and the visits daily, the National Hockey League, all my friends and my family, my brothers, Ricky and Randy, my mom and dad, and of course, my four kids, Eddie, Tommy, Sandra, Nikki, and my beautiful wife, Diana. If it wasn't for them, there's no way I could have got through this. So I believe is that we all beat this, and I'm so thankful for all the support and prayers, and they worked, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and let them know that we beat this thing.
Well, how great was that news? Eddie Olczyk last night, it's been a tough Blackhawks season. That was the best news we've had at the United Center literally all winter. Yeah, that he's back and he's beaten this. I mean, I know it's been really tough on him. And he's been great at coming back and trying to work. I mean, I think he thought that was therapeutic, but it's just exciting to see that he's doing so well.
Yeah, Trump's raising any banner in that building when you see someone like that overcome what really is, you know, what really does take a lot of people. Like he said, I think that was very well said, very eloquent, and really he's a testament to anybody who has to go through something like this.
Well, and Eddie's a guy, you just don't hear a bad word about Eddie Olczyk. Nobody's going to say, oh, I met Eddie Olczyk and I was disappointed. Like, what you see is what you get. He's that genuine.
Yeah, and this is not just a Chicago story either. I mean, the entire, you know, the North America. I mean, he's become like the, obviously, just seeing him on TV, he does all the national games for NHL, but people
Kentucky
know him.
Derby, too.
Yeah. The horse, they gravitate to him. He just, there's something about him people gravitate to, and that was the best news, you know, certainly he could receive and any of us could hear last night. And what I saw, I got over like a half million views.
Yeah.
I mean, that tells you this is a more than national, more than just Chicago, people are paying attention and excited for Eddie O.
He is the best hockey analyst in the world. We're so lucky to have him and happy for him. Bulls and Bucks tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. The pregame show starts at the bottom of the hour. Our Vincent Goodwill joins us live from the United Center. Vincent, 2 weeks ago I asked you about Markkanen's back. Now it's been, what, five games? Why play him the rest of the season? He's going to play tonight, right?
Allegedly, the plan is to play him tonight. I'm not sure exactly if he's going to. He's going to warm up and then see if the back stiffens up a little bit. If it does, then he probably won't play. If it doesn't, then he will. But I'm with you. I don't see why Dunn, Levine, or Markkanen plays another minute this season with everything that's at stake.
What's going on with Kawhi Leonard? I mean, I'd be stunned if they ever let him out of San Antonio, but this is so un-Spurs-like. The guy's not playing. He's been cleared. His teammates are having meetings. What's going on with that?
You know what that is, Luke? That shows you that the system wasn't the Spurs. The system was Tim Duncan. When you have a great player who doesn't require much, everything else seems to sort of fall in place. Kawhi Leonard, although quiet, it doesn't mean that he has no frills whatsoever. He has a camp, and he has people around him, and clearly there's a level of distrust there with team doctors. And I think that's something that a lot of players have. You see Kyrie Irving have his situation today where he's undergoing knee surgery. Isaiah Thomas in Boston last year had his situation, and now it's cost him a lot of money. So I won't say it's necessarily special to Kawhi Leonard. I just think it's today's league where guys are sort of looking out for themselves and not necessarily taking the word of team doctors and personnel.
Hey, you mentioned Kyrie. How big of a story is that?
Well, whenever you say surgery, I don't care if you put minimally invasive behind it. I mean, look, they could give you a minimally invasive lobotomy, and it'd still be a problem.
Yeah.
So to me, surgery is surgery, all right? And that lobotomy actually wouldn't help you. But with Kyrie, I don't know how much of it would hurt them, because I didn't think they were going to the finals this year anyway with the roster that they have. I think they're trying to make sure that this is something that doesn't affect him long term. Or either that, or he's making the decision to go undergo surgery with him going into free agency this time next season to make sure that there's nothing holding him back.
Okay, Vinny, we talked about Kawhi Leonard. No Greek freak tonight. That's a bummer. Give me your five best players in the NBA right now. Who are you taking? Five best guys.
LeBron being number one.
Okay.
Kevin Durant number two.
That's
James
where it gets
Harden,
interesting.
Anthony Davis, and Stephen Curry.
Who are the last three?
James Harden, Anthony Davis, Stephen Curry.
All right. We're going to hold you to that. We're going to come back next year at the end of the season, and we're going to play it back for you. You cool with that?
Luke, you guys would never do such a thing, right?
We would never hold you to it. All right, thanks, Vinny. No. Appreciate it. Have a good time
tonight.
See you
guys.
So, I mean, it is sort of interesting to see, you know, people talk about, well, what are the Bulls going to do? I hear that name Kawhi Leonard. I don't think they ever let him out of San Antonio. But let's say he does become a free agent in 2019. You've got to be ready.
Or, yeah, you've got to
talk to him. You have to be ready, and you have to be ready with anything and everything. What would you give up? What would you give? Let's say Kawhi Leonard's on the market. Would you give up Markkanen?
I don't think you can do that, right?
I don't think they'd do a deal without Markkanen. If you were trying to get a trade out of the Spurs before
that. I think it depends on where he's at in his development.
Now, if a free agent, then I would do anything. Yeah. I'd throw all the money at him.
I mean, it's about superstars. It's a superstar-driven league, and Kawhi Leonard is a proven superstar on both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
So I think you have to consider any offer that comes your way.
What do you think?
I could see them getting rid of Markkanen. My whole thing, I have reservations about, is because he has had some back issues in the past, and it's kind of been holding him back all season. So maybe that is something you take in account with the trade.
That's a great point.
You'd have to get Markkanen and your first round pick.
At least one, probably two.
So then you bring in Kawhi with LaVine and Dunn. You've lost your first round picks. What are you competing for?
I mean, I have no problem with giving away picks for a proven superstar. No problem with it, because the entire reason you want to collect those picks is because it takes a certain number to find that superstar.
Mm-hmm. Right. But if you don't have Markkanen, is Kawhi and those guys enough to make you an impact? You're not challenging LeBron with that trio.
Kawhi, Markkanen, Dunn, maybe. LaVine, because of his injury at this point, might be a little bit easier to lose, but I don't think they would do that.
Dunn, LaVine, and Markkanen have played well enough that we can actually have this conversation, which is nice. Like, you can see the reason to be excited about the Bulls down the road, because we've seen glimpses from each of the three, which is nice to even kind of explore this.
It has been a more enjoyable season than I expected it.
Do you think they should play Markkanen the rest of the season or not? I don't. I just don't see the point in it.
It doesn't make any.
You can tell the league, listen, we're not tanking. The guy's got a back injury. He's had it all year.
By the way, you know how obviously I understand why the league is anti-tank.
Sure.
But there's interest in these games. I mean, that Bulls-Knicks game the other night, and then your scoreboard watch, you're checking on the Nets. I mean, it's not bringing people into the stadiums, which is what the NBA cares about, and they don't want teams keeping their best players out. But there's some excitement about going for the top.
It's a weird excitement.
But no league needs legalized gambling more than the NBA, because there's no drama to it. You know who's going to play for the championship in June. You know the three or four teams that are going to contend for it. And I've said this all year. The NBA is a serious problem, and that's because the league and the CBA are structured such that you can stockpile all these star players a la the Golden State Warriors, and whoever has the two or three or four or five best players in the league, they're going to compete for titles, and everybody else just isn't.
But they do have a lot of great young talent. Vinny tried to pick five players, and I was like, wow, he's leaving out four or five players that could easily be on that list. Just 6 days left until opening day. Ian Happ appears to be in mid-season form. We're going to have another update from spring training next on Sports Talk Live.
So, you call yourself a Blackhawks fan? NBC Sports Chicago wants to hear from you. Visit NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF and tell us what makes you the biggest Hawks fan. You could win the chance to be recognized as our Blackhawks authentic fan of the game, including tickets to a game, a behind-the-scenes tour, be shown on TV, and much more. NBCSportsChicago.com/BlackhawksAF.
Welcome back, Ian Happ. Leading off, and he did it again today in Cactus League play, a leadoff home run. Looks like he's going to be the leadoff guy. He's got six homers this spring, 11 RBI. This is certainly good news for the Cubs if they're looking for the guy at the top. Hopefully this translates to the regular season. That's the big question.
Yeah, look, I like guys who hit for power at the top of the lineup. I'll get eviscerated for saying this, but the Cubs won back-to-back division titles with Alfonso Soriano as their leadoff hitter. Yep.
Chris Bryant's very excited about it. Said he got goosebumps yesterday when he thought about maybe having a guy that hits 30 home runs in the leadoff spot for his team. All right, let's get back to Loyola. We got about a minute and a half left in the show. What do you how far do they go? How far can the Loyola Ramblers go? What are you predicting?
Well, I mean, I think they could beat Kansas State because Kansas State shot lights out yesterday. That they're not a very good offensive team. And then you look at the below bracket. I mean, Michigan plays like Loyola does, and they're a bad free throw shooting team. They don't have a ton of size. If they get past Florida State, I mean, really, it's going to be Krutwig versus Bagley in the championship, Loyola versus Duke.
Fishbane, are you telling me they might go to the championship game?
The bracket's favorable for them.
I think so. I would agree with that. Because I mean, now, Michigan's tough defensively. That could present a tough matchup for Loyola, but I think Florida State could beat Michigan.
Madeline gets last say. It's her team.
I think they can go all the way to the national championship. They have a lot of momentum behind them, the way they play. They spread out their offense. They have so many different shooters that they can go to, and they have God on their side with Sister Jane.
Wow. All right, have fun. You enjoy this run for your team. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Thanks to our great panel today. Bulls pregame live is coming up next. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday. Allegedly, the Catman will finally be back in this chair.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all the latest sports news and highlights.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.